Please take your Bible with me, if you would, please, and turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. You may have noticed, since I've been working in the Psalms in the Bible study, that I also have worked here as far as sermons, and so I trust that it'll be a blessing to you. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Now, some of the statements in this psalm seem to apply to Jerusalem, the holy city here. But many of them seem to apply to heaven, our home. Also called Zion many times, and referred to as the city of God. And so what a blessing to have the presence of God. And we'll look at a couple of things here, and let's pray as we begin. Our Father in heaven, we pray you bless the pastor where he is and minister to him this morning. And we thank you for the word of God. As we have the opportunity to turn to your word, Lord, we turn to you. Say, Lord, teach us with this passage of Scripture this morning and instruct us and work in our hearts and lives and bless us with this time. And give unto us an understanding of the Scriptures that we might be helped, every one of us. We pray, Father, for that the Spirit of the Lord will maybe take something for every heart, something for every soul, for every person here. We pray, Father, that we would receive something from the hand of God this morning as we look into the Scriptures. This, your eternal word, this, your living word, make it live in our hearts right now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God is our refuge. I love statements like this in the Bible. God is our refuge, which means he's our shelter. He's a shelter from storm or from danger. He is our hope and our trust, where we put our confidence. God is our refuge. Who needs a refuge? Do you need a refuge this morning? Do you feel safe without the refuge of God? We look at our world and all the things that are going on around us, all this COVID stuff, and see the numbers are going up. It's about a, you can't avoid it if you watch the news. They're going to talk about COVID almost like a quarter of the newscast is all about this virus or some other variant of the virus, the Omicron variant or something like that. I don't know. Does COVID make you feel safe? Some of us feel safe. Others do not. Others are very concerned about this. And so it's there. You wonder if you're safe in your own country anymore. I heard recently that we were talking about listening devices, and they said, do you know that the police will not have a Lexus in their house, you know, that you talk to, and it listens to you talk to it? And there's another woman thing, I forget what the name of it is, that does the same thing. You have that hub, and you can talk to it and ask it anything during the day, and then she answers you back and tells you things, searches the internet for you. But I thought it interesting that police won't have that because they don't want someone can be listening. Apparently listens all the time. But for that matter, they say that if you have a cell phone, your cell phone is always listening to you. Do you ever wonder who's on the other end? Who's actually using whatever information? Is the government listening to us? We have a Rogers cable at our house, and ever since we got the high-speed internet with it, the phones do weird things. Every now and then, the phone just lights up. Middle of the night, any other time, it just lights up like it's on, like it's turned on, but it's not on. And so we often tease one another in the house and say, "Oh, the government's listening to us. Be careful what you say now." I don't know. Do you feel safe in our country the way things are anymore? Do you feel suspicious about what the government might actually be doing? Seems like a lot of to-do for just another virus on the go. And I know maybe you don't feel that way, but sometimes I think of it in those sort of terms. I know many people have lost their lives, but people lose their lives every year with the flu virus, it seems. And so, I don't know. What do you believe? Do you believe what's on the news, or do you believe what's on Facebook and the internet? I mean, what do you believe? And who's telling the truth? You listen to one, and after a while, like, oh, they're not telling the truth. And you listen to what the government's doing, you're like, oh, that's not the truth either. So what's really going on with all of this? Nowadays, you don't even want to leave your own country. You don't know if you're going to get back again. And people have had so much trouble. Do you feel safe? Do you feel safe in your own home? You notice, I don't know, if you watch the evening news, you see there have been so many house fires. It seems to me there have been so many house fires in London and area this fall. Some people think that some of them are being deliberately set. Some cars have been on fire, and some garages have been on fire, and some sheds have been on fire. It looks like someone's starting those. Can you feel safe even in your own home anymore? Well, in order to feel safe in this world, a couple of things are essential. Number one, that you know Christ as your Savior. It is essential, if you're to feel safe in this world, to know that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're just not one of so many lost souls, but that you have turned to the Lord and repented of your sins, and by faith have asked Christ to forgive you of your sins and to save you. No merely religious person is safe. There are sins against God, and God's wrath is following. And someday will catch up to you. You need to be saved. There's no mercy given for good works. There's no forgiveness offered because you're from a Christian home. There's no pardon because you're a good person or you're no worse than someone else. Everyone is lost in sin, and only those who are saved by faith in Christ are safe in this world. And we are safe for all eternity. We are safe in the Lord Jesus. Safe in the arms of Jesus, someone wrote. Safe on his gentle breast. God's people have always been blessed by the feeling of safety in the Lord. And what a privilege to be born again and be forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his blood ran down the cross for my sins and for yours. And how important to know that we're going to heaven is the most important thing that needs to be settled in any person's life, to be saved. Before us who are saved, God is our refuge. God is our place of safety. He's our safety from wrath and hell. There is no wrath. There will be no hell for a child of God. No paying for our sins, for Jesus paid it all. And once and for all gave his life for us. It seems like there's a storm brewing in this world. Many things remind us that we're at the last days, and the coming of the Savior is very near. And though no man knoweth the day nor the hour, nor do we dare speculate about those things, we see the signs. And our Lord told us to be wise and not like the children of his own generation who did not discern. They could discern the sky. They look at the sky, see the color of the sky, could tell the weather for the next day, he said, but you don't know the time of your visitation. But we see the time when the Lord is coming for us. Is God your refuge? Have you decided to be safe in him? And here's the thing. God is the refuge for every saved soul. Whether we take advantage of that, whether we rest in that, whether we cherish that in our lives, He's the refuge for every saved soul. Do you choose to be safe in the Lord? Do you choose to enjoy and even feel His safety that He gives to live in this world? And the Bible says God is our refuge. He's our refuge and strength. He is. He is our refuge. Not He might be or He was at some time, but He is. And the safety that He provides is the shelter in which we live our lives. And it's wonderful to be safe in the hand of God in this world and to know that He's taking care of us. And no one can do anything to harm you. No enemy can do anything to hurt you or to injure you, except as the Lord allows for correction in our lives or for instruction. But all of that is in a wise and loving plan. But outside of that, no one can do anything except for what God has chosen. And God loves us and is taking care of us and is leading us in our lives. And do you live in the refuge that God is? Do you choose to live there? And it's important for all of us to think about that. And then he says, secondly, he says, God is our refuge and strength. God is our strength. He's the source of strength. The idea here is that the Lord is the source of strength for the weak and the defenseless. Well, we may rely on His strength and trust in His strength because many times I am weak. Many times you are weak. Sometimes we are weak emotionally and we feel like if one more thing breaks our hearts, we will not be able to go on in life. Sometimes we feel that. And many times there are tears, but how good to be able to lay down on your pillow and you're laying in the hand of God and to know that the Lord is supporting you and that He's taking care of us. And the interesting thing about the statement here that God is our strength is that the idea behind that is that we can use His strength as though it was ours. We can use His strength in life as though it was replacing our strength. And He blesses us. Sometimes we are weak physically. Janice mentioned that this is the first time the pastor's had any surgery. And I had my shoulder done, and most of you remember that. I was off work for some time with that. The rotator cuff muscles ripped right off. And so they stapled into the bone and sewed it back on there. And it seems good. I thank the Lord for that. I think it seems like it stuck and healed on there. But surgery is a traumatic thing. And I mean, you just lay there and they wheel you in. I've only had that one surgery ever in my life. It is kind of a helpless feeling. You're very much in their hands. You know, you look at them, they're all working around the room as they're about to put you out. You look at them, you're like, I wonder if they had too much to drink. You know, I wonder what's really going on in these people's lives. Is that going to influence what sort of job they do? And you know, I thought about those things, but I didn't let any of that trouble me because the Lord gave me the strength for that time. And we have found the strength of God to be there when we need it. We often go on in our weakness and we see that we're at the breaking point or we're at the point of great weakness. What is beyond that? All the strength of God is beyond that. All the power of God, all the ability of God is beyond that. You're not on your own. You've never been on your own. And since the Lord saved us, He has been our unique companion and friend and our support. He is our refuge and our strength. Because there are times when you may feel like you can't go on. Well, what do? Seek the strength of God. Ask for the strength of God. And we can have it. A favorite text of ours is Isaiah 40 and verse 31, where it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Do you know what waiting really means? It really means to pray and seek God and look to Him for that. Pray and expect is what waiting is. Pray and expect that prayer to be answered. "They that wait upon the Lord," the Bible says, "shall renew their strength." Strength renewed. How many times in this world we need strength renewed? And things happen, make you feel weak, make you feel troubled. Maybe even you feel weak spiritually sometimes. Sometimes things happen to us and we feel so unable. Even spiritually sometimes we feel like, you know, I wanted to be strong, but I just don't feel. And there's our emotions sometimes just playing havoc with us. And we just don't feel that we have the strength of God. But what do? You ask the Lord. Ask and expect for that to come. Pray for His strength. And it is not maybe they that wait upon the Lord, maybe they shall renew their strength. Or sometimes they shall renew their strength. The Bible says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." It is certain. It is positive. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." They won't fall down from lack of strength. God holds us up. God blesses us. And they that wait upon the Lord can have that kind of strength. And it's a marvelous thing. God is our refuge, and He also is our strength in this world. And we look to Him. Do you have the strength of God in your life today? Take hold upon the promise. God is our refuge and strength. Man tries everything to be strong, and he is not. He is a prisoner in his own sins, and he cannot be free. Wonderful is it to be saved and forgiven and to have the strength of God to live our lives. I think it was Friday, either Thursday or Friday, I was doing some service calls on a job site near here. Big food processing job site. I'm not allowed to say where it is. But we have a number of light towers there, and so I was changing oils, and so I try to get my service van as close as I can. And so I pull up to this one, and I stopped, got out and walked it to see if I could safely get close to it. So the porta potty is here, and the light tower's there. So I had to pull up my service van off of the roadway, the construction roadway across the front of the building, and to let all the equipment go by. So I pulled up as close as I could to the telehandler, but I'm really close to the porta potty. So I get out, and I'm changing the oil, and I'm thinking, you know, there's an aroma about working in the neighborhood that I am right there. And it's not very nice, actually. And I thought to myself, how many times in this world we are influenced by the aroma of the world? The world is full of, it's putrid, it's full of sin and wickedness and evil desires and lusts and all kinds of things. And how often that is affecting our lives. We live in such a cursed world and with so much sin. And of course, and we struggle with sin in us as well. And so, how wonderful to have the help of God. You'll notice, if you're still there in Psalm 46, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." In trouble. Trouble may be the atmosphere even. It may be the atmosphere of the home you live in, or the atmosphere of the workplace that you live in. I am not on a job site, and I'm with rough, you know, construction people. A lot of them are, a lot of them don't care what comes out of their mouth. Let me just say that. But I'm, sadly, there is no place where there is a more putrid conversation and more foul language than there is when I'm in the office at work. It's as bad or worse there than it is anywhere I go. And we live our lives, and the wickedness of the world influences us Do you have trouble? You know, Job, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, wrote, man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. You have a fire, what happens to the fire? Sparks fly up out of it. That's, you have a fire, that happens. You're living, you have trouble. That just happens. We live in this world, we have troubles. And actually, the word trouble here, it means anything that can come upon you that makes you worry or fear, whatever causes you anguish or distress, any adversity or problem. Trouble. So trouble can have a lot of different names, but there's no question we have trouble that comes into our lives. And he's a very present help in trouble. Very present help. He is a helper that can be found. He's there. He's a present help. He's exceeding powerful and effective to do whatever needs to be done. You can't have a problem that God cannot solve. You can't have a problem that God did not know you were going to have. He's not surprised at what's going on in your life. We might be, but he's not. And the Lord is there. He's a present help. He's there to help us. And he's a very present, and that's reflecting on his great power. He's exceedingly powerful to do what needs to be done. He's proven. He's a proven help. He's been proven in the Bible. When you read the Bible, you see how he helped others. He's been proven in other people's lives. You know others, children of God who have walked with him. You know how they have been helped and the testimony of others. He's been proven by us in our own life. And we can look at other times where God was always there to help us. And you can always find him. If you have any need at all, you can find the Lord to be with you in that trouble. And so the Bible says in the next verse, it says, therefore, we will not, we fear. I'm always tempted to read that in the wrong order. Will not, we fear. Now that's, you know, we might say, we will not fear. But I like it better the way it's written in the Bible. Will not, what are we going to not do? We're not going to fear. It's like we've made a decision. We're not going to fear because God is our refuge and he's our strength. And he's a powerful and a present help. In any kind of trouble, we will not fear. The trouble with trouble is it often brings fear into our lives. Distress, not knowing what to do. There's different fears. But we say, well, we're not going to be afraid because our confidence is in God. And that confidence should be unshaken. It should not be in any danger at all. We should have confidence in the Lord. He's our refuge and he's our strength. Now watch what it says. Therefore, will not we fear though the earth be removed. Well, why? The earth be removed. And it's talking about the structure of the earth, the structure of things around us. Even if we had a great earthquake and a chunk of flat land suddenly is sticking up in the air and maybe a spot where you used to drive down the road is a big hole in the ground now. That's the idea, that even though the earth be changed and the structure of it be changed such as you would have through an earthquake, the Bible says, we will not fear. We will not fear even though the structure of the world around you be changed. And by the way, we are in great changing times right now. But so, therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. What? The mountains are, to people who live in this world, the symbol of the most solid and enduring thing. Yet the Bible says, what happens if the mountains are carried off into the midst of the sea and dumped into the midst of the sea? What then? People look to the mountains and think of them as strength, but there's no strength in a mountain. It's just a pile of rocks that God has put there. He can move it out of there anywhere he wants to. And the whole world around us and your whole life can be in an upheaval. And it can be unstable. And you might say, all the things that I thought I could depend on are changing. And that is the world that we are living in. God is our refuge and strength, and therefore we will not fear. We'll not fear that if mountains, if seemingly the solidest thing that you could look to in life on this earth, material world is changed and thrown into the sea and destroyed. Doesn't matter. We will not fear because God is still our refuge and strength. And so much more than the things of this life. Though, verse 3, the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Oh, the sea turns it up. And it's roaring. And even the lakes. I don't know if you were watching the news last night. And they were showing along the Erie shoreline there. And the waves, there was the houses there. And the waves in the distance were above the top of the house. They were hitting and the splash was going higher than the house. I thought, that house ain't going to be there very long. Wow, those are some waves. The waves, have you ever heard water, sea roaring? The Bible describes it as roaring here. There really is no other term for it. We're in Newfoundland. For some reason, Newfoundland is just in the right spot to get all the hurricanes. The hurricanes come, they hit Florida and other places in the south, and then they seem to come up the coast, and Newfoundland's just sticking out there far enough. The end of the hurricane always seems to hit Newfoundland. And when we were there, we're out at Cape Spear, the most easterly point in North America, and it's just it's fairly tall rock. Like, it's not hundreds of feet, but it's fairly tall, and the rocks are all smooth. And we were there one time. We had the National Pastors Convention. We had pastors down. I took them out there, and it just happened to be the end of a hurricane, and it was hitting those rocks, and that water was just hitting, and it was going so high. And the men were out taking pictures because they hadn't seen anything like that before. Just the power of the sea. I don't swim. I don't want to be on the sea. Thank you very much. I don't want to see what's going on. Some of these shows about, you know, the deadliest catch or whatever, and the things that people are out there endangering their lives for. I don't want to be there. Thank you very much. The sea is a symbol of power, and the waters can roar, and the mountain, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, the power of the sea to even make the land, make the mountains on the land shake. These things being changed, what if you did see a mountain fall into the sea? We will not fear, even though there's nothing dependable left on this earth. If the ground rises up under your feet, because our Heavenly Father is there, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is in us. The Lord is with us. He is our refuge and strength. If mountains shake by the power of the seas rising up, or swelling, as the Bible refers to it here, the word swelling just means rising up. If there is no security in this world, if there's no security financially, if there's no security knowing what's going to happen in this world, what do you do? Do you fear? No. You stay with your refuge. Stay with your strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. While every river on earth may be a source of destruction and ruin, do you see what out in BC, what the river did there? Really something amazing, the damage from the river. Then verse 4 says this, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. There is a river. If every river here has turned from being nice to nasty and dangerous and ruinous, remind yourself that there's a river that brings calm. The river's in our home. The Bible says it flows out from under the throne of God. The river of life. Such a peaceful and a beautiful and a dependable river. While here waters roar and wash homes away, there is a river that makes everybody in that city glad. We will be glad to see that river when we get to heaven. It makes glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Heaven is the city of God, our home and our future, and the place of God's dwelling, where His very presence is. And my wife has a song on her phone, and we listen to it on the when we drive here sometimes with the car, play off her phone. So, and it's about getting to heaven and living next door to the Lord Jesus. And I must say, I never thought of that before, that we might be living, we're going to be living right next door to God when we get to heaven. And what an amazing thing that's going to be that close to Him. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are all laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't be at home in this world anymore. It's not our home. No matter how bad it is here, and it's going to get much worse, no matter how unstable this world is and the things of this world, how unsafe it's going to get worse, how destructive, how wild the creation of God is going to become, there's a peaceful river flowing from the throne of God. On the sides of it are all kind of trees with bear their fruits. Every month, there's an abundance of peace and joy in heaven, and a smile on everyone's face there, and joy. The river is just one of the blessings that make glad the city of God. Are you going there? Are you going there? You know why we're not fearful and afraid of this world? Because, well, this isn't our home anyway. We're just here for a while, and soon we'll be home to be with the Lord in heaven. When the American traitor Benedict Arnold was trying to betray the United States, he met with a British spy by the name of Major Andre. And however it went down, when they were meeting, Benedict Arnold was able to get on the boat in the Hudson River and escape, but there was some gunfire, and the spy, the British spy, Andre, was not able to get on that boat, and so he tried crossing land and making his way to New York, and he was caught. And in his socks were the plans that Arnold had given him to betray his country. And so Arnold, well, as a spy, was court-martialed and hanged. And that was the end of that, except it wasn't. Because in his coat pocket was found this remarkable poem, and it goes like this. Hail, sovereign love, which first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace, which gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God who built the sky, I fought with hands uplifted high, despised to mention of his grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. And wrapped in thick Egyptian night, and fond of darkness more than light, madly I ran the sinful race, secure without a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, Almighty love, arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress, and found I had no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view. To Sinai's fiery mount I flew. But justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. Ere long a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel soon appeared. He led me with a beaming face to Jesus as a hiding place. On him almighty vengeance fell, which must have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a sinful race, and thus became their hiding place. Should sevenfold storms of thunder roll and shake the globe from pole to pole, no thunderbolt shall daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. And apparently this man was saved, and the Lord was taking care of him in spite of what happened in his life. I hope you know the Lord to be your strength and your refuge these days, and that you might confidently trust in him and say, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Thank you, Father, for the word of God. And we pray that you would bless and encourage us with the scriptures in this troublesome time that we live, that we might take advantage of what we have as every child of God, and find the safety and the security there is in God, our refuge and our strength. And bless it as we consider these things. In Jesus' name, amen.